At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at vistaprint.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. Oh, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Messi fans, Lowell's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Milo's Rewards or a Milo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
With Ben, so hopefully did that come together?
Yeah, glad to get Christian done, and you know, we agreed with him, and then we'll hopefully get him in town midweek to get him signed. But yeah, we, you know, worked with Hadley and his agent probably 2 or 3 weeks, I'm gonna guess, and great dialogue the whole time, and you know, appreciate what those guys did to get it done, and we were, like I said, came to a place that both sides thought was fair, and so excited to extend him with all the other guys that we've been able to get done.
To follow up to that, you guys are in a position you're not going to draft high if things keep going like they've been going. Did that create an urgency to, hey, these guys are easier to extend than maybe risking them hit the market a year from now?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you have to, obviously, you're always cap planning and managing and strategizing who you got to move on from, knowing what's coming down the road, guys that you like, that you want to extend. And so I think it's very well known that there were, you know, a decent number of guys, and we've been able to get, you know, most of them done, that, hey, if you don't extend them now, it doesn't mean they can't get done, but it, every day closer to free agency makes it maybe a little more appealing, or it may up your price. Doesn't mean we have had guys go all the way to that and gotten them done, but obviously the closer they get, the more attractive other opportunities could be for them.
Let's go back a year ago. You had to make a lot of changes, some of the guys on the roster. And then you fast forward to this year and all the extensions. Can you take us through the planning process of a year ahead, maybe, and how all this came together, combining the two things?
Yeah, I mean, listen, my job and our front office job is to try and plan and win today, but an eye on tomorrow. And what does tomorrow mean? The next year, in this case, it's 2025. What is 2026, 27, 28? You know, some of these guys we extend all the way to 29, but and Josh is, as we know now, is through 30. But you have to look at that, and how are you structuring deals? What are those cap numbers going to be those years? And what do the, if assuming those guys continue to play at their rates, stay healthy, all that, what positions do you have kind of in a good position, and then where do you need to find more depth or more starters? So yeah, that's one of my main things. You have to, if you're going to win and have sustainable success as we want, you can't just plan every move for today. You got to always be thinking about what that looks like next year and beyond.
And on that note, Brandon, specifically for some of these players, I know you can't predict what year they'll have. It could go either way.
Yeah.
But did you look at Terrell, Gray, Khalil, say, this is our core kind of on the next phase, I guess I'd say, of the team?
Yeah, I mean, we made moves last year with confidence that, and it's hard. Like, it's hard from a culture standpoint to move on from five or six captains that we did and all that they had done to help us at that time win four consecutive divisions and plus all the other things. I think 5 out of 6 years in the playoffs or 6 out of 7, whatever it was. But we did that with confidence that we had some younger players, the guys we've extended, but they still had to go out and earn it and prove it. And we felt that these guys that we extended this offseason did that. And now it's a matter of, once you determine that, figuring out their value and working with their representatives to see if you can get on the same page. And fortunately for these guys, we were able to do that.
Consensus is that these four extensions, they took probably less than what they probably could have got had they gone to
free. Which four are you talking about?
Khalil, Benford, Bernard, and Rousseau.
Okay.
Like, if you look at what people were expecting, looking at those numbers, and of course they're just estimates, it feels like these are team-friendly deals. At least that's the reaction that there's been to them. And a lot of, you know, praise for you and the organization for that. Did you get a sense from those four guys that that was important to them?
You know, you want to have a place that people want to be there and that they think that they can, you know, we talk about being the best version of yourself on and off the field. And so, yes, had conversations with each one of those guys after our season wrapped up of where they see themselves, where they want to be. Do they see themselves continuing in Buffalo beyond this 1 year remaining on their contract? And, you know, and then basically I had, you know, explain to them about the cap and things like that, and we would like to look at it. But you also want to see how interested they are. And to their credit, all of them were like, you know, in their own way, whatever they call me, Bean or Brandon or whatever it is, yes, we want to be there. And so I just said, give me time and let us work through our plan, what that is, not only from a roster standpoint, but financially, what these look like from cash and cap concerns. And then we'll circle back with your reps. If anything comes up, they can reach out to us if they haven't heard from us. And so we started those conversations at various times after the season and kind of one by one knocked off you know, these guys, which we're very excited about.
Is it a coincidence that those four guys all got four-year deals? Is there a reason you kind of built them that way, 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, we believe in them, and we want them to be here, and we want them to know that, and we're not hedging our bet. Like, we believe in them, and, you know, that's just kind of where we saw it. Like, let's, if we're going to commit, let's both commit here for a considerable time. And so we're excited that they are all four-year extensions, Matt.
You and Sean have both been, I'd say, maybe unusually blunt about Keon's season after it ended. I know this is the time of year where maybe there isn't a ton of contact with the players, but if you've had some interactions with him since the season ended and maybe since those comments have come out, how have you seen him respond to those?
Yeah, I mean, and listen, Jay, we're even with those comments, it's more just it's two-sided. One, it's there were a lot of positive in our comments. Like, it was really just if an injury happens, being able to bounce back from that probably a little bit better was the number one thing. Keon did a lot of good things if you break it down. But he was – we had honest conversations postseason, and I have not talked to him directly very much, but I got a close relationship with his agent, and we've talked, and he's been training out in Texas a bunch, and I've seen videos and things like that. He's communicated with some of our other staff when he's planning to be back, and you know, so we have all the confidence, and I'm not just saying that, we have a lot of confidence that Keon gets it. And I want to remind people, this young man was 21 years old. Like, I didn't have it all together at 21, and so I want us all to remember, to be fair, some guys are coming out, they're 24, 25 now with the NIL. Like, this was a true 3 years out of high school young man, played basketball, played football. Playing receiver's hard. And so I'm not sitting here today concerned about where Keon Coleman's at, just to be clear. But he knows what's expected of him, and I have no doubt that he's training, and I'm excited not only for him, but a lot of these other guys that just got through with their rookie season to see what year two will look like for them.
The way the college game is played, Brandon, how tough is it to evaluate a corner?
A corner, you know, I think you're trying to you have to look at everything. What are they asked to do? What's the scheme? What's the system? Are they in press all day long? Are they playing off? Like, and you're looking for those opportunities. What do they do best? What are they not? You're trying to evaluate their instincts. You're obviously going to talk to some of their coaches, some of their, you know, people that you know at those places. But I think every position, Ryan, has certain challenges that you have to do. You can't forget to grade the critical factors, the athletic traits that they're given. And if they have, just like Josh Allen wasn't a polished piece when he came out, but he had a lot of the DNA, the athletic traits, the want to, that if you take how he's wired, this player, any player, but in that case, Josh, how he's wired, and you take the God-given talent he has, you feel like with good coaching and time on task that you can turn this player into something. So it's always you have to be careful not to just judge them in a system that maybe doesn't accentuate all their talent, whether it's corner, linebacker, or whatever it is.
Is it, where you guys' research has to right now, is this a good draft for corners?
I think there's guys out there. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to think back each year how it stacks up, you know, year to year. But I do think there are guys, and our coaches – I've been zooming some players. One of the things that I still need to tie some loose ends up, we'll meet with our coaches real soon when we get back on Learn's kind of football foundation knowledge. And then our guys will teach them stuff either if they were at their pro day or private or over a Zoom. And so what's their recall? And so some of those things I still need to get answered. But athletically, I think there's some players that fit what we do. You know, it's important. We want our guys to be able to tackle as well. Sometimes you see this guy that's athletic freak, but and turns the ball over, but he really turns it down, you know, or is a pile inspector, as we call him. You know, those guys are kind of non-fits for us. So as you guys watch him, you know, and you guys write your articles, I think that's important. You know, is the guy our type of DNA? The physicality that we want.
Pile inspector?
Yeah.
So he sort of watches.
He's watching the pile.
P.I.
The P.I.
Over the years you've been doing this, even going back to Carolina, how have you adjusted your approach to the draft for DNA guys? For examples of guys that you had maybe like concerns, but then go into the league and don't have that.
Yeah.
Like, is that something you're constantly kind of changing your filter for that?
Yeah, you are. And you listen, these are people, they're not robots, Matt. So they're gonna some guys you're gonna kind of strike them down a little bit, and they get it together. They get in the right culture, they get with a teammate that's there that really was the perfect person for them to help grab them around the neck and say, hey buddy, let's go, like, we need you. And they're not gonna let them get away with that stuff. And so sometimes that's like, Do you think you have the right DNA, to, you know, whether it's a player in that position group, whether it's the position coach, you know, just like players, coaches have different strengths and weaknesses of getting things out of guys. And so you're constantly trying to evolve. And there's been players out there, Matt, that we have said, that's not for us. And they've had success. I would say more times than not, there's been guys that were like, kind of thought that might happen. They get drafted somewhere, you know, high or even mid rounds, and you just weren't interested, and you can see them flame out. But there's been guys that we would have been all in on that went places and may have went to the wrong place. Like, man, that guy went to a city that was not good for some of our concerns. And so you're constantly looking at it. You try and do your best. You're generally taking a lot of things and you're trying to build that puzzle, trying to build a very grainy picture into as clear of a person and a player as you can to put them on your board where you value them, you know, and make the best decision you can.
So the last guy that people talk about is obviously James. We've talked to you before. I know that you don't negotiate through the media, but can you give an update at all on where everything stands with his situation contractually?
Yeah, I mean, just like I said to India, I love Jimbo. Proud of his success, just like these other guys that we got extended. And I don't talk about negotiations. I would say, you know, his reps and him put it out there that we did talk. So that's, I'm not sharing anything new. It didn't lead to anything as far as, you know, closing in on a deal. And so we moved on to the guys that you know, we were more on the same page with. And, you know, at this point, Sal, we're on to the draft, you know, once we got Benford done. And, you know, we're going to – I don't see us doing any deals anytime soon. We're going to focus on the draft and getting our cap in order, planning for how we – you know, how we cut the 53 down. Because like I've told you guys, even though we have cap space today, it's on top 51. And so depending on how many players we draft, where they, you know, who we see having the best chance to unseat players and what that looks like at a 53 cut, we got a plan for that as well. So, you know, but again, just because we don't have James signed today doesn't mean next year we still can't get him done before he gets to free agency.
How do you anticipate him? Sorry, Phil. Coming to this year, obviously wants a new deal. This kind of looming over everything. Does that concern you at all with this particular player or no?
No, I mean, I think Jimbo's a pro, you know, and I respect him and love him to death. And he, listen, I'm sure he's going to want to come out and prove that, you know, the value that he and his reps put on him, you know, hey, let me show you. You don't. If we're not there, I'm going to go out here and do it again. And so he'd be showing us and then obviously showing the whole league as well. So, and we want him to have success. We're rooting for him. And we want nothing more, just like these other guys, for James to continue being a Buffalo Bill well past this season. But we are where we are. And there's no hard feelings from us. And, you know, I look forward to giving him a hug whenever I see him. And like I said, we want to put him in positions to succeed, like we have so far.
On the extensions you did, and also the white contract, which was multi-year, was there any language included for an 18th game?
No.
You mentioned being onto the draft. The market for Amari and Rasul seemingly has been maybe a little slow, but considering you are onto the draft, does that mean the door for you right now is closed on potential returns for either of those guys?
No, and I'm more talking onto the draft and as far as long-term extensions, just there's a lot of planning when you're doing those from a cap casualties, you know what I mean, from a cap standpoint and cash. And so, yeah, listen, there's still free agents out there, whether it's our own, those guys you mentioned, or other guys that are still looking for the best opportunity, best situation. I think you're almost to the point with guys like that, that are, you're kind of down to guys that are close to the vet men, or guys like Amari, Rasul, and others that are like, you know what, I'm going to wait for the right opportunity teams. And I mean, I remember last year, like, you don't see it a lot, but like Stephon Gilmore signed in late August for I think like $8 or $9 million a year. So sometimes guys will wait post draft and say, you know what, that team, if you're Rasul, I'm just making it up, didn't get a corner, maybe they value me more now that it didn't fall their way, or Amari, receiver, you name the player, on another team. So we're not opposed to signing someone, but where I was kind of leading is more long-term extensions.
Mm-hmm. Defensive line, it's an unusual spot to be in with Hoyt and Ogunjobi.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how does that impact your draft planning, your remainder of free agency planning? Do you have to have, you know, a plan B in place, knowing that these guys are going to be out for as long as they are?
Well, I think I kind of plan anyway, like, hey, we're going to have injuries, especially up front. Like, these guys have to go through a camp. So, Jay, I'm looking at it like I already know two guys got beat up. And as I kind of alluded the day that this came, that we talked about it at the end of free agency, was, you know, we lost a Matt Milano last year in training camp. And so I'm kind of looking at it like that was very unfortunate, but I had already planned for that with other moves we had. Like, you have to plan for these guys to go down. So whether they were facing or not, we know we need to be strong up front, and we're trying to have as many weapons, you know, as we can. And, you know, probably the best place at this point between now and the draft is the draft. Sometimes post-draft, though, guys, you know, become a cap casualty again. Their team lands a high pick player and they say, you know what, we can move on from this $10 million player. And so we'll continue to add in the draft, and then I could even see maybe there's an opportunity after the draft, which again speaks to we have to be mindful of our cap, where we're at, and knowing that there may be opportunities after the draft for players to come available.
Speaking of Milano, what did it mean to you for him to do what he did to come back, and what was that process like for you guys? What does he mean to you at linebacker? And I think there's a perception this automatically means that, you know, in 2026 he moves on. Can you kind of walk us through what it means for his future as well?
Yeah, love Matt. Feel terrible for him. Starting with that London game and then the freak deal in training camp this year. But Matt is everything you want in a Buffalo Bill. You know, I know he's not a quote piece for you guys, but he just shows up, works hard, loves ball. You want to talk about eat, sleeps, breathes football? Matt Milano should be the picture for that. And, these are never easy conversations, difficult to try and but you do understand that, you know, he has had the injuries. And so we tried to structure something that, you know, would help us a little bit now, give him an opportunity to earn some of it back, you know, with staying healthy and showing everyone he's back. And we're going to support him. And hopefully, you know, we have no doubt that he's going to bounce back. He's, you know, he was frustrated by the, you know, man, this happened again, second year in a row. But he can still play. He's working hard. And it definitely does not mean that this is Matt Milano's last year in Buffalo by any means. We'll take it one year at a time. We'll play this out. And I know that's where he's at. But I hope he has a heck of a year. And I hope we're able to, you know, sign him again and keep him here for the future.
But how does college programs or hiring GMs, how does that help you and your scouting staff during the evaluation, particularly if you have relationships with them?
Yeah, I mean, you're always looking for resources. The college game's definitely turned into a business more than ever. And so you're seeing these programs hire GMs, balancing this NIL money and plus the evaluation piece of it. So, yeah, you're seeing college programs. I've spoken to some ADs asking me for guys that I've seen or run across that would be interested in those positions. And we've even had one reach out to one of our people on staff, not for the GM, but for like an assistant GM type role. And he turned it down. But I think you are going to see more and more of this continue to happen as the college game turns into, and they, you know, whether they get a CBA or whatever's coming forward to kind of regulate this, I think you're going to see more of it. But yeah, it's guys that you've built relationships with in the NFL. Why wouldn't I lean on them to kind of tell me about a player that we may acquire in the draft or however?
Brandon, is there a position that's the hardest to evaluate as a prospect besides quarterback? I'm assuming quarterback is kind of a big one. So, is there a position kind of universally thought of as like, yeah, these are the hardest ones to scout?
You know, I don't know. I think, you know, you always – I think if you asked five different evaluators, they may give you different positions. You know, I know for me early on as an evaluator, I would say I felt better at the skills than I did up front. But I sat down with, you know, our O-line coach in Carolina and learned from him some. I thought Dave Gettleman was very good at – he called them the hog mollies. I don't know if you guys remember that term, but grading those guys. And he would always talk about those New York Giant fronts, and we would talk about some of their players and what they did well, whether it was rush from the inside, outside, two gap, one gap, all those things. And so it's something you're always trying to learn. But the game is changing and evolving, so you have to change your evaluation with how the players are playing and how it is. So I consider Matt and say, this is the hardest. I think it, you know, there's constantly an evolution. And I would say, again, I may be most comfortable, I'm making this up, grading running backs, but the next evaluator, Brian Gain, may say I'm more comfortable grading D tackles than I am offensive guards. So I know that's not like an exact answer, but that's probably the best answer.
How confident or concerned are you about cornerback two right now? And a second part of that is, where do you think Jamarcus is in his development, and, you know, to be able to step in and compete for that role?
Yeah, I mean, we've Jamarcus has played significant minutes for us, done good things. He's also shown the ability to go in and play nickel for us as well. So he's one of those chess pieces like a Cam Lewis that we've played him all over, plus special teams. We want to build as much depth, and you guys know this. You want to answer as many questions before the draft as you can to take the onus off of reaching for a need the best you can. And so we're monitoring that. We're monitoring other positions as well that we want to improve, and we'll have them lined up. And like I said, there's still time between now and the draft, whether it's a 1 year vet or something like that to placehold. I know we just brought Dane back on a 1 year, a lot of confidence in him, but that is one of the positions we'll continue to look at. And again, we traded Steph last year, early April, and I know a lot of people freaked out. What are you going to do at receiver? But, I told everyone then, and that's still we don't play meaningful games till September. So just let it play out. There's still a lot of time for us. And that is the number one thing, to make sure we have the right 53 on our roster to compete for a championship.
Understanding what you said about Keon, but you brought it up kind of with Steph. Do you feel like you've got enough consistency and proven ability in your receiver room right now? You've got a lot of guys, and I know the everybody eats thing is something you guys have adopted as a team. Do you feel like you need another one just to kind of fill it out? Like, is that still something that you think your team needs to address?
Needs? I wouldn't say needs, but we'll look for competition, Matt. I would say our offense did pretty good last year. I think when you look across the board, I don't have all the metrics of, offensive points, scoring, all that stuff. But I think what Joe Brady and Josh and our offensive team did was pretty good. And, we like the addition of Josh Palmer to our group, and feel like he's a guy that really fits what we like to do, kind of a positionless – another positionless wide receiver. There's still time to add more players, but am I sitting here going, man, we've got a hole there? No.
When you take the Kyer Christian draft and what happened at that position, taking two players that ended up competing really hard, and on the other side of that, Christian, who is a big piece of your core, is that something you can do? For example, defensive tackle is such a deep position in this draft. When it's like that, do you kind of go back to that philosophy? Even if it wasn't a philosophy, did you learn from that? Is something to kind of use moving forward in future drafts?
I think, you're ultimately just trying to get the best football players you can. I think it's dangerous to go in and say, I'm going to select two corners, if that's what we said, which we didn't. We truly looked at our board and took Christian, and that obviously turned out very well for us. They don't all, you put it all together. But I think, this is a deeper draft at defensive tackle. And so that tends to say, as you go down your board in rounds, there may be more options there than a position where it's thinner. So the odds go up that you may draft a couple. But I wouldn't want to say, Matt, hey, no matter what, we're drafting two D tackles or two corners, whatever it is. I promise you, we are just trying to position the board the best we can, and let's get as many good football players. They're all going to play. We deal with injuries. We talked about some of these guys coming off injuries. The best players we have, they're going to play, and we need to, especially if we look at a guy, whatever round, and say he can make our 53, that's going to help us.
You have a pretty big gap from 62 down to the
107, maybe, yeah.
Is that a priority based on the depth of some of these positions to maybe slide up a little bit and get a third rounder?
Not a priority. I think I'm going to, we'll get the board set, and I'm definitely not there today to say, hey, it's definitely going to be deep in the third round. But if we feel it's going to be deep in the third, and I'm concerned about what's going to be there in the fourth, now you may talk about moving up. Or if we're sitting mid two and we're going, man, we got a lot of guys we still like here, maybe we take one of those and move back and pick up something else. So I do like the ammo that we're going into the draft with, that we're going to try and play the board and move up and back where we think it makes the most sense. And so today I can't tell you exactly where I feel what rounds we're going to feel that way. But and sometimes you even have a feeling and then all of a sudden there's a run on a position and you're like, damn, we better move up or we ain't going to get one.
I know I'm asking you to get into the weeds a little here, but what is the cap relief for the suspended guys? How does that work?
So it's on their salary they're getting. Basically, if it's 6/17 of their salary comes back off.
Okay.
And so you have that. That's separate of what we worked out with the deals with them, with their bonuses and how we adjusted each deal knowing the suspension before they actually signed.
So it's no portion of the bonuses, it's just the base.
It's the base. It could be if you already have a player under contract and then they test.
Yeah.
But because these were known as we're signing them, the language is written that is going to protect that. So we adjusted them accordingly on the base salary.
It comes off right away, or does it come off week by week?
It's Sal, I don't know exactly how that works. We haven't had a lot of suspended players, so you will get it, but I don't know if it's week by week or if you get it at the end. We'll have it. Yeah.
Okay. Couple of rules proposals. Well, by Detroit, actually, the defensive contact, illegal contact and holding,
mm-hmm.
and the possibility that a playoff team that has a better record as a wild card than division winner will be seated higher. What's your view on that as someone who's been in this league a long time?
Yeah, I think I understand the rule about, you know, a defensive penalty, not giving a first down, but I think the problem is you get a team in 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15, you're going to tell your guys to grab a little more, hold a little more, because the worst case is only going to be 3rd and 7. And I think there could be some unintended consequences of the rule. You know, sometimes it stinks to give up a first down on a ticky-tack call, and that's probably where it's coming from. But I think there's some unintended consequences I would be concerned about. And then the what was the other one? Oh, and the seating? Yeah. You know, there's still going to be a lot of discussion, so I'm interested in that. You know, as I sit here today, I've always been a firm believer. I like the process. You win your division, you get a home game. I could probably be talked into, if you don't finish above 500, that maybe you still get in if you win your division, but maybe that you don't get a home game. So I think there's going to be some, I don't know if spirit is the right word, but some interesting discussions in the next couple of days on that. But if you know, if you're above 500, you win your division, I think you should get a home playoff game.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Realfac 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Realfac 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.